Turn with me, please, to the small New Testament book of Philemon. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon. Hooray. If you find Hebrews, just hit reverse. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, and to Appia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Therefore, though I have enough confidence in Christ to order you to do what is proper, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, since I am such a person as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. But if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. Not to mention that you yourself owe to me even your own self as well. Yes, brother, let me benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. At the same time, also prepare me a lodging, for I hope that through your prayers I will be given to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Earlier this year, we went to several portraits of grace, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. As this fall season engages, I want to return and touch on several more portraits of grace that God has planted in his word for us to be strengthened by, encouraged by, and that we might strengthen others in turn. This afternoon, after this sermon, go home and read again Psalm 25. And consider how that what Jerry Hooley read for us, how that could have been prayed by Philemon, by Paul, by Onesimus. Philemon is one of the four prison epistles. The others are Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians, which is a companion letter to Philemon. Likely, both the letter to Colossae and Philemon were carried by the same hand, that of Epaphras, to the church that was in Colossae and met in Philemon's home. The one a letter to the whole church, and the one a personal letter, one of the only two personal letters in the New Testament, the other being 3 John. Here Paul is coming to the end of his ministry. He writes as Paul the aged. He is now a prisoner of Rome and a prisoner in Rome. He is not able to move about as he would like to, as he has done so before. But that does not mean that his ministry is lacking fruit. There in that prison cell or in that house arrest, whatever exactly it looked like, Paul was continuing to be fruitful and to minister to those immediately round about him and to encourage them and to send rich instruction to those at a great distance. How blessed generations have been, how blessed we continue to be by the great truths that Paul wrote from his prison cell, Ephesians, Philippians, the letter of joy, Colossians likewise. Paul is there in prison, not perfectly certain of what the days ahead hold for him, whether it is release, as he hopes it might be, and that he in person might visit Philemon and all of the brothers and sisters there in Colossae, or whether it might be thumbs down by the Caesar and that his life might suddenly come to an end. Paul, along with Timothy, he is a prisoner of Jesus Christ as well as of Rome. And he has a situation before him that's very, very dicey. Very dicey indeed. The background, as we read between the lines, is that Philemon, as so many in the first century Roman world, was a slave owner. There was not the understanding fully emerged at this point of slavery, and the church had not yet addressed that. And here we have one who has disappeared out of Philemon's house, a fellow by the name of Onesimus. Now, whether Onesimus had been sent on an errand, as was common for slaves to be sent to some destination for a specific task, and whether he had lingered there much longer than he should have, or whether he had literally bolted out of Philemon's home and was a renegade right from the start, the bottom line is that Onesimus was outside of the law. The law was that a slave who had evaporated and who tried to disappear into the crowds of a large city, such as Rome, it was possible, a slave who had disappeared and was no man's possession, once caught, could be branded on the face as a mark, an unmistakable mark that here is a runaway, prone perhaps to run again, and that there was danger. Well, Onesimus knew what could happen. But something else had taken place. While he is there in the streets of Rome, he somehow comes up alongside of Paul. This man, who he undoubtedly recognized as having come to Colossae, having preached the good news of Jesus Christ, and through whom his master had become a believer in Jesus Christ. Paul talks about having begotten Onesimus in his imprisonment. And he says that Onesimus was formerly useless to you, but now he has become useful to you and to me. Now, you miss much here in Philemon if you don't understand that Paul is working on a play on words. The very name Onesimus means useful. And previously, this useful slave had become utterly useless in the mind of Philemon. He was a runaway. He wasn't anywhere to be found when the work was needing to be done. Where is that guy? Well, Paul says he's come to Christ. He has trusted in him. And though he was formerly a runaway, though formerly you might have used his name in unkind terms, he was useless, but now he has become useful in at least a couple of different ways. Paul understood the danger of just sending Onesimus back to Philemon, and he speaks in this delicate situation. But first of all, Paul couches things. As he starts off in verse 4, he talks about how that he thanks God always. He mentions Philemon and others frequently in his prayers. He has heard about the love and the faith that they have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all of the believers, the saints. Paul says that he prays that the fellowship of the faith, their faith, may become effective, that that faith might not be just a cerebral faith, but that it would reach down and take root and that it would sprout and grow and become ever more beautiful and fruitful. Your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. Paul says, word of testimony, he says, I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because he saw that the hearts of the saints had been refreshed through this brother. Now Paul gets down to business. He says, now Philemon, I've got a bone to pick with you. I've got an issue to raise. And Philemon, I have enough confidence in Christ to order you. I could order you to do what I want you to do, what I believe is proper. Yet for love's sake, I don't want to come to you with a heavy hand. This was the same way that Paul spoke with the Corinthians. He appealed to them. Though they were renegades, though they had discounted Paul, though they had written him off as so many of them, as having nothing to say to them, Paul comes and he says, I appeal to you, Philemon. I appeal to you as an elderly man, and now one who is in bondage for the Lord Jesus. I appeal to you. What tenderness there is here as Paul writes and he lays out his case, not with heavy club, but with open hand. And he says, I would like to keep Onesimus right here with me, but I am sending him back to you. And it's like I'm tearing out part of my heart and sending that to you. I would like to have him continue to help me and to meet my needs as I minister here in Rome. But without your consent, here's Paul's open hand, without your consent, I didn't want to do anything so that your goodness would not be like your arm is twisted up behind your back. I want you to have the opportunity to make the decision here Maybe it was for this reason that you two were separated for a while, that now as you come back together, it no longer be in the former relationship, but that there would be an understanding that you are brothers in the family of God, in the flesh and in the Lord. Paul says, if you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. I'll say more about that in just a moment. But Paul, just in case, he says, if he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account. And Paul also says, now, Philemon, you know, that if it wasn't that I had walked those miles and endured those hardships and put up with the scorn and the sleepless nights and the shipwrecks and all of those other things that I have endured, it may have been that no one would have come to your town, to your city, to preach the gospel. And so, in effect, Philemon, you owe to me your very self, your very soul, your very salvation is because I came. But Paul again, he says, let me benefit from you in the Lord. He says, refresh my heart. It's like, pass me that cup of cold water that tastes so good and is so refreshing. Would you reach out that to me? Now, this is a beautiful story, and we could put this down in the Academy as one of the most amazing letters that come to us from the first century, but there's far, far more here than just a nice story about a slave who went home and who surely was welcomed by Philemon. If Philemon thought it was all garbage, he would have crumpled it up and thrown it in the fire, and we would have never heard about this story, that this letter that Paul wrote to Philemon so many years ago. You see, each and every one of us are an Onesimus. Each and every one of us have run from the one who owns us by right, the one who has created us, the one who has fashioned us, the one who we owe our allegiance, our Heavenly Father. We have run. This story is so very similar to the prodigal. The prodigal, he runs, he goes to a far country. Well, here, Onesimus, he goes and he loses himself in Rome, one of the most worldly cities of the day. He wants to disappear. He wants to evaporate. He doesn't want anyone to know him. What a picture of the sinner who goes into the world and who wants to become anonymous. He doesn't want God to come find him. Well, here, Onesimus, like the prodigal, suddenly he comes to himself. And all of a sudden, he realizes what he has done. But he needs an intermediary. He needs a mediator. Enter in the picture, in Philemon and Onesimus, Paul. He was the go-between. He was the mediator, but for you and for me, there's no Paul. Jesus Christ is our great mediator. He is the one to whom we go to, and he's the one who we lay it all before. Lord, this is what I've done. How can I come to my Heavenly Father with this on my hands? And Jesus, he appeals to the Father. He appeals on the basis of the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And Jesus says, accept him, accept her as you would me. This is what Jesus does for each and for every one of us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and verse 14, we read again from the hand of the Apostle Paul, the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. and he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, no longer as rebels, as guerrilla fighters, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Therefore now, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, no longer as slave or free, but even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. 1 Timothy, also from the hand of Paul, and chapter 2. Paul says to his young associate, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me and in the presence of many witnesses, entrust them to faithful men." Pardon me, I meant 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time." You see, there is one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. And so, as you look to the letter of Philemon, here is a picture of God's grace. Grace had been received by the Apostle Paul. He knew that. He knew that to the very core of his being. Philemon had received that grace also and become a believer in Christ. Onesimus had received that grace. He was also a picture of what God could do with a life, any life. Have you received this grace? Or are you living secondhand? Do you know about it, or have you experienced it? It's interesting. The name Onesimus is most certainly not common in the first century world. Some decades later, a bishop shows up by the name of Onesimus. Was it the same one? Very possibly it may have been the same Onesimus that Paul here appeals for. The one who was useless, he became useful to his master, useful in the sight of the kingdom. That can be true of you as well. You might say, "Well, my life doesn't count for much." Place your life in God's hand, and then see what he will do. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Lord, only heaven can fully describe what you can do with a life that is surrendered to you. You have taken men and women out of the depths of sin, and you have worked something so beautiful in their lives. It is truly a portrait, a picture of your grace at work. Not a picture of human perseverance or endurance or determination. It is a picture of the grace of God, the kindness of God. And Lord, I pray that this would so grip hearts and lives here today. We see here in the account of Philemon, the letter that was written to him, a reminder of what each of us is like, running, trying to live our own life based on our own ideas of what's best. But when we finally come to ourselves and turn around, there's trouble. If we come without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. Blood needs to be shed. May we see that it is Jesus Christ, his blood shed for us, whereby the sinner goes free and there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness and a welcome. So, Lord, work in hearts here, I pray, that men and women would come before you and say, Lord, I need a mediator. I need one to speak on my behalf. I need a strong appeal. I need an attorney like no other. May they find that in you and so, so much more. So work and bring about salvation. Bring about new names in the Lamb's Book of Life this very day. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.